This is the L2SI Report, dispatches from a rapidly changing, rapidly improving world. Good news headlines for the week ending August 5th, 2006. A different kind of auto race. Making fire from the ice. Text messaging to the rescue. And extending the shelf life of blood. Plus the return of the 5-cent cigar. And now, here's the host of the L2SI Report, Phil Bauermaster.
Thank you, Michael Sargent. Live to see it, friends. It's time once again for our roundup of good news, evidence that our world is getting better all the time. We have a lot of ground to cover this week, so let's get right to it. Item 1. Have you ever noticed how certain future events and developments seem to remain in a perpetual just-around-the-corner state? My favorite example of this would have to be the flying car. My co-bloggers and I at The Speculist have written extensively about hopes for and new developments towards flying automobiles. But the reality is that all these years after the Jetsons first premiered on Saturday morning TV, flying cars remain little more than a concept. Yes, there are models. Yes, there are prototypes. But are there realistic plans to make a real flying car practical and widely available? I wouldn't hold my breath. Coming down a little closer to Earth, but staying within the same basic category of prediction, haven't we been hearing for years about how super fuel-efficient cars are just around the corner? And not just efficient gas-powered cars, but hydrogen and electric-powered vehicles, and super-sophisticated electric-hydraulic biofuel hybrids, that sort of thing. Granted, we now have the Prius and a few other kind of vanilla hybrids out there, but not the exciting stuff we were promised. In fact, there's even a conspiratorial documentary out right now entitled, Who Killed the Electric Car? Personally, I'm not sure that I'd buy into elaborate conspiracy theories, but you can't help but wonder whether we'll be seeing any of these more radical leaps in automotive technology implemented much before we'll be seeing the flying car itself. All of which leads me to a quote from the co-inventor of the airplane, Wilbur Wright. Wilbur said, I confess that in 1901, I said to my brother Orville that man would not fly for 50 years. Ever since, I have distrusted myself and avoided all predictions. Now, that is a pithy reminder that we should never allow the just-around-the-corner syndrome to lull us into believing that big changes can't or aren't going to happen. And this quote is particularly relevant to our discussion because I lifted it directly from the homepage of the XPRIZE Foundation. As you should all know, the XPRIZE Foundation is the group that funded the private space race that culminated in the triumphant $10 million prize-winning flight of Spaceship One in 2004. Having provided this enormous kickstart to private space exploration and development, the foundation is now announcing a new prize, about which they say, and I quote, Our goal is to stimulate automotive technology, manufacturing, and marketing breakthroughs that, one, radically reduce oil consumption and harmful emissions, and two, result in a new generation of super-efficient and desirable mainstream vehicles that people want to buy. How it will work. The rules are being shaped by our philosophy that the automotive XPRIZE must, one, benefit the world, this is a global challenge, and two, this is the important one, result in real cars available for purchase, not concept cars. And then it goes on, remain independent, fair, nonpartisan, provide clear technical boundaries, etc., etc. You get the idea. But that second item is key. Just as the original XPRIZE required a real mission to space, this automotive XPRIZE requires the development of real cars. Here's looking forward to what the entrants in this competition come up with, and hoping that some of the ideas truly do get past the concept stage and into real commercial implementation. Item 2. Popular Mechanics recently reported on an intriguing substance called methane clathrate. It's also known as methane hydrates. Methane clathrate is a form of ice that you can set on fire. But that's just the beginning. Reading in part from the article, Natural gas locked up in methane hydrates could be the world's next great energy source, if engineers can figure out how to extract it safely. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, 100,000 to 300 million trillion cubic feet of methane exists globally in hydrate form, most of it in the ocean floor. There's more energy potential locked in methane hydrate formations across the world than in all other fossil energy sources combined, says Brad Tomer, director of the Department of Energy's Strategic Center for Natural Gas and Oil. Well, now that sounds like some pretty good news, especially when you consider the fact that methane burns much cleaner than any other fossil fuel. So we have more of this stuff than we do any other energy source, And it would be a net plus for the environment if we were to start using it, especially to the exclusion of dirtier fuels. The potential downside is the risk that methane clathrate could do some significant harm to our environment. Although a clean-burning fuel, methane is an extremely potent greenhouse gas. We have to be really careful with that stuff. We would need to find a way to extract the fuel without releasing methane gas into the atmosphere. There's also a related risk that global warming may cause methane hydrates found on the ocean floor to begin melting, again, potentially leaking the gas into the atmosphere. And that could lead to a dangerous chain reaction, wherein warmer temperatures cause more methane to be released, leading to still warmer temperatures, and so on. On the other hand, I can't help thinking that there might be room for a win-win scenario here. Let's say we start very carefully extracting methane gas from hydrate deposits that have been determined to be at the greatest risk for melting anyway. Now, that would make sense, wouldn't it? That way we protect the environment while making the switch to a new, cleaner energy source. And then, once the process is perfected for safely extracting methane from methane clathrate with minimal or no leakage, we begin widespread extraction, eventually switching to methane as our principal fuel source. If petroleum emissions are making the planet warmer and increasing the risk that additional methane will be released into the atmosphere, wouldn't burning methane, a cleaner fuel, help cut that risk? It's two sides of the same coin. By developing a new energy source, we make the planet cleaner. Or, if you prefer, by making a modest effort to clean up the planet, we open up a new energy source. Either way, we win. Item 3. Here's an example of a government making use of changing technologies and new infrastructure to positive ends. USA Today reports on how authorities in Fujian Province in China have used SMS messaging this typhoon season to warn residents of impending severe weather. These authorities have sent more than 18 million SMS messages so far this typhoon season. Now, there's no telling how many deaths and injuries this effort has helped to prevent, especially when you consider the fact that everyone who receives an SMS typhoon warning probably spreads the word to several folks who didn't get one. Now, what's neat about this story is how a technology that might be viewed as pretty much a marketing gimmick that mobile service providers added in order to get customers to consume a few more of those all-important minutes can be put to an unexpected, very positive use. There are those among us who take the position that technology can and must be developed to address the problems that society faces, but that we should focus only on serious solutions, not gee whiz gadgets and boys and their toys projects like, say, flying cars, for example. But you see, a rising tide truly does raise all boats. I doubt the mobile service providers in Fujian Province were thinking about typhoon warnings when they first started offering SMS service on their phones some time ago. Nor do I think many people bought the service with that in mind. People bought into SMS as a luxury item at one point, then as a convenience, then it simply became an expected feature. And all the while it was a boys and their toys type gadget, like most mobile phone features. To which I can only say, let's keep those gadgets coming. Item 4. CNET News' Future Tech blog is passing on a story from Haaretz that Israeli soldiers may be going into battle carrying their own freeze-dried blood in 2 years. Now, reducing the mass and volume of transfusion blood while extending its shelf life holds implications well beyond the battlefield. These days, individuals who undergo planned surgery are often asked to participate in the hospital's blood bank donation program. By donating a single unit of their own blood a month or so in advance of the surgery, patients are able to reduce their overall impact on the local blood supply, while ensuring the blood they get is both correctly matched to their type and healthy. The Israeli product, should it prove to be safe and cost-effective, would allow patients to donate their own blood over a longer period of time before planned surgery, spreading out the stress on the patient's system that donating blood causes. It would allow emergency medical personnel to pack a significant amount of transfusible blood in a variety of types and factors over a relatively long period, in the smallest of packs and vehicles. And it might even allow blood to be stored and reconstituted much later, perhaps even years later. My thanks to our announcer, Michael Sargent, for contributing this bit of good news to this week's report. Item 5. Thomas Riley Marshall was Vice President of the United States in the year 1917 when he uttered a phrase which is now remembered far better than his own name. Marshall is reported to have quipped in response to a laundry list of items falling under the heading of what this country needs, with the now immortal words, "What this country needs is a really good 5-cent cigar." From the vantage point of almost a century, perhaps it's time to update Marshall's famous rejoinder. Not because smoking has fallen into such disfavor, or because it's unlikely these days that one can acquire a really good cigar for anything less than $5, but simply because the phrase, "what this country needs," is irresistible to the L2SI community. It's a phrase in need of completion. It's a challenge. We therefore announce the L2SI 5-Cent Cigar Challenge. All are invited to help us complete the phrase, "what this country needs," or if you prefer, "what this world needs." The winning phrase will be chosen by universal acclamation of its brilliance. The prize will be the fame and glory associated with the idea's imminent implementation. Or, failing that, we'll at least read some of the good ones here on the L2SI report. So please, don't let sit on those brilliant ideas, not when they can be so easily published on our blog and broadcast on our podcast. Let us hear from you. So, there you have it, friends. Super efficient cars, ice and fire combining to save the planet, SMS to the rescue, freeze-dried blood, and your chance to expand on what it is exactly this country really needs. Good news is happening all the time. You've just got to know where to look. Until next time, I'm Phil Bauermaster. Live to see it.
The L2SI Report is a Speculist production. For more information on the topics discussed in this edition of the L2SI Report, visit our website at www.speculist.com.